Verse number 1 says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me it is indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe." The word "finally" there, we may think that, well, he's getting to the end of what he's going to say. Well, the word "finally" there actually doesn't mean I'm getting to the end. It literally could be interpreted the remaining. He's changing subjects. He's been dealing in the first two chapters with Christ-likeness. Remember chapter 2, he talked about how Jesus Christ was to be our example of humility, how he came to this earth, he left heaven's glory, left his throne in heaven, came down here, became like a servant and served people, and then he died on the cross, not because of anything he did, but to die to pay for the debt of our sin. You know, that ought to tell us something. When God looks down at our sin, you know, Hogan talked about this in his testimony, that he recognized that he was a sinner. That's really what the bottom line is. You know, the hardest thing for people that need Christ as their Savior is to admit, "I'm guilty." That's hard, because we like to think, "I'm pretty decent." And Paul's going to show us here, Paul thought for a long time he was pretty decent. And he's going to give us a list of his credentials. And you know, right now in your own mind, you may think, "Yeah, I've asked lots of people. If you were to die right now, and God asked you why you should lay into heaven, what would you say?" And people start saying, "Well, I've been good. I say my prayers. I go to church. I read the Bible once in a while. I don't hurt anybody." And they have all these lists of credentials that they have. And honestly, those are better than some people that would say, "Nah, I'm mean. I'm cruel. I hurt people. I drink. I'm, you know." Well, a lot of people don't have any good credentials. They got lots of bad ones. Right? So having good credentials is not a bad thing, but it's not going to get us to heaven. And that's what Paul is dealing with in this chapter. And that's why I've entitled the message this morning, "Losing to Gain." Losing to gain. So keep that in mind as we work our way through. But he says there, "Finally, brethren, I rejoice to rejoice in the Lord." He says, "I rejoice in the Lord to write the same thing to you indeed is not grievous, but for me it is safe." Then he goes on to verse number 2. He says, "Beware of dogs." Now, this morning, dogs were barking at Alexia as she's coming in this morning. And, you know, the dog's some guy's dog out there. He's not talking about that kind of dog. All right, when he says, "Beware of dogs," the Jewish people, remember, they referred to the Gentiles as dogs. Jews had a very high opinion of themselves. And they looked at everybody else as the dogs of the world. And one commentator, Mr. Lightfoot, he made this statement. He said, speaking of the herds of dogs that prowl in the eastern cities without a home, without an owner, feeding on the refuse and filth of the streets, quarreling amongst themselves and attacking the passerby. So this is the typical of the dogs of their community. And so when Paul said, "Beware of dogs," he wasn't putting a sign out in your, you know, on your fence, "Beware of the dog." He's saying, "Beware of the false teachers that are out there that are like these dogs that are attacking and biting and tearing people apart and teaching people wrong things that will lead them astray." So he says, "Beware of dogs." Verse number 3, "For we are the circumcision which worshipeth God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." All right, so the circumcision is a term that the Jews used to describe themselves. That was the mark of their Jewish identity, was circumcision. So when he makes this statement, he was talking about the Jewish people. They worship God in spirit, and they rejoice in Jesus Christ, no confidence in the flesh. Then he goes on, verse 4, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man think that he hath whereof he might trust in his flesh, I more." What's Paul saying? He said, "You look at your credentials." Now, right now this morning, I hope that you thought about your credentials. What if God was to ask you why he should let you in there, what would you say? If you have all these lists of, "I do this and this and this and I don't do this and this and that," all these things you think are going to please God, those would be your spiritual credentials that you're trusting in. Paul said, "Listen, if you think you have some, I had more than you ever had." And then he goes on to list them. Look at verse number 5. "Circumcised the eighth day." So Paul said right off from the very start, 8 days old, I was circumcised. I became a Jewish citizen. "Of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, The Benjamin, remember, was the tribe of Benjamin was the tribe from which the first king of Israel came. So he said, I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, I'm a Pharisee. Now think about it. The Pharisees, who were they? The Pharisees were the highest spiritual leaders on the ladder. Now yes, they had priests, and you know, the high priest would probably be technically higher, but the Pharisees were the people that went through life just doing all the things right. They made sure that they were always doing the right thing. They said their prayers. They were meticulous. When it came to tithing and giving of their offerings to the Lord, they would take their seeds. They'd count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That's mine. One seed for God. And they'd go through their, and they were ridiculous about every dinky little thing. They were very fanatical about making sure that they did what God wanted them to do. So Paul says here, I was a Pharisee, blameless in the law. And he goes on, verse 7, but what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Now here's the big one. Paul said, even though I had all these credentials, I was a super duper Jewish Pharisee. But, he said, all these things I gave away to gain Christ. And that is significant. He says, I gave it all away to gain Christ. And verse number 8, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Paul said, all these great things that I've done, all these things that I say, I did this, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this, I'm a good person. Paul said, all those, I count them like dung. Now, dung doesn't always mean manure, but it means rubbish. The smelly stuff out in the pile, whatever it is. Paul said, that's all it means to me. It's worthless. All my good things, my circumcision, my daily rituals, the pharisaical things that I do, all that is worthless so that I can gain Christ. He says, Jesus Christ is far more important than all the things that I've done. And that's what he's emphasizing here. He says that I want to win Christ. And when he talks about winning Christ, he's not talking about, you know, some lottery or a game or something. He's talking about, I want to gain Christ. I gave up all this so I could gain Christ instead. And then he goes on to verse number 9. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now, I've covered the introduction here. So let me get back to where I was heading here. The idea here, Paul said, I all these things that I held on to and said, I am good. I am religious. I am godly. Everybody will look at me and say, wow, there's a spiritual man. Paul said, all of those things that I was holding on to, I count them but rubbish. Because it didn't mean anything. It wasn't going to get me to heaven at all. What I needed was Jesus Christ. And you know, the truth is, that's true of all of us. Doesn't matter where you are in your spiritual life. You may be somebody that really hasn't gone to church much at all. Others, maybe you've gone to church from day one. I mean, I grew up, my mom and dad took me to church the Sunday after I was born. And I've been going to church ever since. But that didn't make me a Christian. I'm glad for it. It helped me. Because it led me in the right direction. But that didn't make me a Christian. You know, if I held on and said, I went to church when I was 1 week old, and I was baptized, and I have all these lists of things I've done. Paul said, all of that is rubbish. The only thing that matters is Jesus. He paid it all. Because no matter how hard we try, even as we saw in Hogan Charity's testimonies, Hogan there said, you know, he knew it, he knew the gospel, but it all, one day it clicked. I'm lost. I'm doomed. I can't save myself. I need Jesus. And that's where it's got to come for all of us. You know, you can know all about Jesus. You know the Bible. You can read the Bible. You can say your prayers. You can do all those kind of things. But until you come to the place where you say, all that is worthless if I don't have Jesus. Because Jesus is the one that paid for my sins. And that's where we're headed this morning. So, Jim Elliot, a missionary back in the 50s, who was killed by the Aka Indians, before he died, he made this statement. He said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." And Paul was saying here, I've given away what I can't keep. I can't keep all these things that I've done to gain what I can't lose, Jesus Christ, and eternal life, and a home in heaven, and righteousness before God. That's what we need. That's what we need. So as we look at this, I see four benefits Paul gives us in the rest of the text we're going to be looking at here this morning. Four benefits that he gained when he gave up his religious credentials. What did it gain him? What will it gain you if you give up your religious credentials and you choose Christ instead of holding on to, I'm good, I've been baptized, I say my prayers, and you know all the credentials you have. You give up that and you trust Christ. What's it going to gain you? Here it is. Number one. The first benefit Paul gained is he gained Jesus Christ. Verse number 8. He says, "Doubtless, I count all these things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." Paul said, I gained a personal knowledge of Christ. He'd known about Christ. In fact, Paul was one of those, the haters of Christ. Remember back there in the early parts of the book of Acts, the persecution, Christians were dying for their faith. When Stephen, the first martyr, died for his faith, the scriptures tell us that the guys that were throwing stones at him took off their jackets so they could move faster, and they laid him at the feet of Saul, who was Paul. They laid him at his feet. He was the master persecutor. He was saying, go get him, guys. Give him another one. Hit him a harder one. Give him, throw that rock at him. Get him right in the head. Get rid of this guy. He was out there to kill the Christians. He hated them. He knew about Christ, but he hated Christ. He didn't believe Christ was the truth. So he had known about him. We read there in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 1, it says, and Saul was consenting unto his death, speaking of Stephen's death. Saul was Paul, his name changed later. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout all the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. Now, Paul knew Christ as a friend. Then he knew him as an enemy. Now he knows him as a friend. He says, I have a knowledge of Christ now I never had before. He is now my friend. He is now one who I cherish. He is my friend. He's able to say, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Paul called his knowledge of Christ the excellency of knowledge, or excelling knowledge that's only available through faith in Christ. A personal relationship with Christ. You know, intimate knowledge of another person comes through spending a lot of time with them. There's no one on earth that knows my wife like I know my wife. And there's no one on earth that knows me like she knows me. Because we've spent a lot of time together. Almost 45 years together. That's a lot of time to get to know each other. And the longer we're together, the more we get to know each other. And Paul said, now I know Jesus Christ personally because I've spent time with him. I fellowship with him. I know him intimately. So he gained a knowledge of Christ. He gained or won Christ as a friend. He became his companion. Christ became his Lord. Before he was his enemy, now he's his Lord. and he became his intercessor. You know, that is a wonderful thing. Jesus Christ intercedes for his children. Once we know him as our Savior, he is there to help us. He is there to pray for us. He is there to meet our needs. He's there as a great companion and friend. So Paul gained Christ. The second benefit we find here that Paul gained was he gained Christ's righteousness. Verse number 9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith in of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. What's he talking about here? Righteousness. Righteousness is the... Paul had this religious righteousness before he came to Christ. Paul could say, I am a Pharisee. And the Pharisees, folks, listen, honestly, they were the religious, righteous people, religiously. They did what they were supposed to do. They avoided the bad things. They were very, 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 very strict religiously. And Paul was at the top of the list. They memorized much of the scriptures. They were very super spiritual type people religiously. But Paul said, I found in Christ not my own righteousness, which is of the law. I kept the law. All the things the law said, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, and do this, and do this. I did all that. But he said, I still wasn't very good. Can you think of any other Pharisee that came to Jesus seeking help that came to the same conclusion? Well, John chapter 3. Remember Nicodemus? Nicodemus, when he came to Jesus, Nicodemus was also a Pharisee, just like Paul. He was very religious. He was very straight and righteous religiously. But he knew there was something missing down inside. And Nicodemus came to Jesus seeking the answer to why there was something missing down inside. And Jesus spotted it immediately. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, here's your problem. You need to be born again. And Nicodemus said, born again? I'm an old man. How do I do that? And Jesus said, no, not a physical birth. You've already had that. That birth of water is done. Now you need a spiritual birth. You need to be born of the Spirit of God. You need to let God change your life. Trust me as your Savior and let God change your life. And that's what happened to Paul. Paul said here, I've now gained a righteousness, not the righteousness I had by keeping the law, but through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. It's something we get by faith. It's not something we work for. Paul had worked and worked and worked and worked hard. You know how hard it is to be good. It is hard to be good. You ask, you tell a little child, come on now, be good. That's hard, Daddy. Yeah, it is hard to be good. And we all struggle being good. But Paul said it's not by doing the law and being good to get righteous, but it's by faith. Jesus did it for me. I can't fix it myself. I can't solve my sin problem. Jesus did it for me. And by faith, I can put my trust in him. And he paid the debt in full. It's simple. And yet it's wonderful. And Paul said, when I came to the place where I realized that I can't do it, my righteousness is not going to cut it. Because I'm still going to come up short. And my righteousness is no more help than the rubbish on the dunghill. But Jesus Christ paid what I couldn't do. He solved the problem. He paid for my sin in full. He died on the cross, bled, and rose again from the grave to pay the debt of my sin, to give me eternal life. And that's what the only thing that mattered. When Paul came to that conclusion, he said, I gained the righteousness of Christ. We read in Galatians 2:16, Paul writes, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Titus chapter 3, verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So it really doesn't make any difference what credentials you hang on to. All of us have some sort of religious credentials. every person you meet. You ask them, are you a good person? Yeah, I'm a good person. You know, I don't hurt too many people. And everybody wants to think they're pretty good in some way. We have our religious credentials. And Paul said, all of that, I came to the conclusion, was rubbish. It's never going to get me to heaven. It's never going to buy my way in. I'm never going to get there through my religious credentials. It's only Jesus. And by faith, he said, Lord, I believe Jesus paid the debt for me. Would you please wash me clean? And just like that, God gave him his righteousness. That's wonderful. All of us can have that. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to earn it. In fact, you can't buy it. You can't earn it. It's all by faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul said that's what he gained. And it's by faith alone. Righteousness can never be earned. No good deed can wash away one's sins. God alone can declare a person righteous by the blood of Christ. Nobody else can do that. If you came to me and said, Pastor, would you please make me righteous? I'd say, sorry, I can't do that. I have no way of making you righteous. I can give you some ideas of things that you can do that make you a little bit more nice, but it can't make you righteous. Only God can remove the sin and make us righteous. Only God can wipe it clean and give us a clean slate. That is such a wonderful thing. Forgiveness is marvelous. To think that God can reach down and forgive our sins. Remember that great Psalm 86:5, For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. God is ready to forgive. And he's ready to forgive you. Just like he forgives me. God is a wonderful God. And Paul said, I came to know him personally through faith. And he gave me his righteousness. Christian's righteousness is solely through faith in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, we read, Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth in him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Paul said, if you work for it, it's not faith. But if you don't work for it, and you just trust God, then it is faith. So he says, you can't earn it. You can't work for it. Faith, what is faith? You know, sometimes we talk about these religious terms. What is faith? Well, faith is acting upon trusted information. Faith is acting on trusted information. So, that chair you're sitting in, the reason you're sitting in it is because you have faith in that chair. You didn't even think about it, but you have faith in that chair. You're trusting the chair to hold you up. If it was a rickety old teetery-tottery one, you probably would have sat down a little bit carefully and thought twice before you did. Because you weren't sure. But because these are solid, good chairs, you didn't even think. You just plopped down. Faith. And we need to have faith in God. Just the trust. Faith is acting on trusted information. So the trusted information that we need to act upon is that Jesus died and rose again to pay the debt of our sin. That's the trusted information. Have you ever acted upon that trusted information? Jesus died, was buried, rose again to pay for your sins. If you will act upon that trusted information by saying, that's what I need. God, would you please apply that to my life? Change me from the inside. That is acting upon it. That's faith. And that's all Paul did to get righteousness from God. Thirdly, we see another benefit that Paul gained is that he gained a transformed life. Look at verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Some of these terms seem kind of confusing, but let me just clarify here. Paul said he was indwelt by the Spirit of God here. He says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. He said, I know Christ, the same power that raised him from the dead, the power of his resurrection, The Spirit of God raised Christ from the dead. That same power that raised Him from the dead is going to raise me from the dead. It's the same power that's going to give me strength to be able to do what I need to do. It is the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit of God that does that. And He gives us fellowship with God, enables us to have harmony with God, to be reconciled to God. And He says here that He did, I mean, know Him, the Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, how that He has suffered for us. I understand that He suffered for me, and I grasp it, and I appreciate that, and I can participate with that because He paid the debt of my sin and be conformed unto His death. I am allowing myself to be conformed to His death. This is enabling Him to die to sin, to enable us to die to sin. You know, we still face sin all the time, every one of us. This week we're going to be facing temptation to sin. And when we do, we can be victorious if we depend upon the Lord, and He will give us the strength, the same strength that made us righteous will keep us righteous if we'll depend upon Him and trust Him day by day to walk close to Him. And Paul here said, God has transformed my life. He's changed me from the inside out. We read there in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. And so there's a change that takes place deep down inside. That's what we all need. And then Paul points us to another benefit, verse number 11. That benefit is that he gained the assurance of resurrection. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now Paul, you know, just a casual reading of this makes it sound almost like Paul's hoping, I sure hope someday I'm going to get resurrected. No, he's not talking about that kind of an idea here at all. He's saying, I gave up all of my credentials. Why? So that I could be resurrected from the dead and spend eternity with God in heaven. That's the reason I gave it all up. That's why I counted all that loss, that I may gain Christ, so that I could have a resurrection to spend eternity with the Lord. Truthfully, that's the bottom line. We need to be resurrected unto life. You know, the Bible tells us there's going to be two resurrections. Everyone in this room is going to be resurrected one day. And there's a resurrection unto life, and there's a resurrection unto damnation. You know, we all die, and when we die, one day we're going to stand before God. Those who have put their faith in Christ will be resurrected unto life, to spend eternity with Him forever. Those who have never received Christ their Savior will be resurrected unto damnation, to pay for their sin for all eternity, separated from God. Tragic. But we're all going to be resurrected. Paul said, I want to be part of that first resurrection, that resurrection unto life. I want to know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven. You know, millions of religious people today have no hope of heaven. Millions of religious people today, maybe billions, have no hope of eternal life. They say, you ask a typical religious person, do you know for absolute positive, if you die today, you go to heaven. They say, well, nobody can know for sure, but I think I got a pretty good chance. And I say, well, why do you think that? Well, then they start giving you their credentials. I've done this and 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 this. Yeah, so I think I got a pretty good chance. They view God somehow that He's got some big scales up in heaven and say, all right, now, if your credentials are heavy enough, you're in. If they tip the wrong way, oh, sorry, you lose. It's not the way at all. If it was that way, if our credentials were what got us into heaven, Paul would have been there automatically. But Paul said mine didn't count at all. They were dung. So I headed the other direction because my credentials were worthless. And that's exactly what we need to see. When we come to the place where we say, my credentials are worthless to get me into heaven, it's all about Jesus. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. When we come to that place, we come to Jesus as our Savior. That's what salvation is all about. It's not difficult, but the hardest part is admitting our guilt. Paul here struggled with that. He was confronted with the gospel. He heard preachers preach, and he sought to kill them. But it wasn't until God brought him to his knees, and Paul realized that he was guilty before God. And he said, my credentials are worthless. And it's all about Jesus. Truthfully, credentials can't do enough to get anybody into heaven. Those who gain Christ are promised a resurrection. We won't have this sickly old body anymore. All of us have the aches and pains, and you young people will get there someday. But all of us older ones have our aches and pains. And I remember it kind of started at age 40, and then it just kind of increases all the time. And God says He's going to give us a new body. Peter talks about this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, when he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively or living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, that gives us hope. Because if our Savior's dead, you got no hope of ever becoming alive. Most religious people outside of Christianity, all their saviors are dead. Buddha and Shinto and all these, they're all dead. But Jesus Christ is alive. He says He gives a resurrection from Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. He said, we have an inheritance waiting for us in heaven if we know Him as our Savior. We have the hope of resurrection. That is awesome. Death is always a sad time. Saying goodbye to a loved one is always hard. But if they know the Lord as their Savior, and you know the Lord as their Savior, it's not the end. Resurrection day is coming, and we'll see Him again. I've got a lot of friends in heaven waiting to see Him. Some of our friends in Papua New Guinea are up in heaven waiting to see us. I got aunts and uncles that are up in heaven waiting to see me. One of these days my mom and dad will be there. We're all going to die someday. And resurrecting day comes. If you know the Lord is your Savior, up from the grave you'll arise. And you'll spend eternity with the Lord. Paul said, that's what it's all about. I want to be resurrected one day. And I want to spend eternity with God. Paul said, that's why I gave up all my credentials. Threw them out on the dunghill. They were worthless. And I put my faith in Jesus because He paid the debt in full. My credentials couldn't pay for any of my righteousness, my sinfulness. Couldn't pay for it. But Jesus paid it all. And folks, this morning as we think about our soul, these truths that Paul shares with us today, he said, I was a Pharisee. I was as righteous religiously as you can get. And he said, it didn't get me anywhere. But it wasn't until I realized that I was wrong and Jesus paid it all, and I put my faith in Jesus, that I gave away all of my righteousness to trust Christ. And He gave me His righteousness, which is genuine righteousness, which gave me eternal life and a home in heaven and a promise of resurrection one day. If you know what I'm talking about, if you've received Jesus as your Savior, you know the joy that you're looking forward to the day when we'll see Jesus with a new body to live with Him forever. That'll be a glorious day. But if you're here this morning and say, I'm just not sure. I appreciated Hogan's testimony this morning. For years he had heard the gospel. And he knew what was true. But he just kind of pushed it aside. But then all of a sudden, the Spirit of God convicted him and said, you've got to deal with this. And that's where we all come to. There's got to be a time in our life when we come to that crossroads where we say, I'm not good enough. All my righteousness is filthy rags. They're dumb. It's worthless. Not going to get me there. I'm not going to get into heaven that way. I've got to trust Jesus. And when you humble yourself and you bow your knee to Jesus and say, Lord, I'm guilty. And I can't fix my sin myself. But I believe you died to pay the debt for me. And I want to receive what you did on my behalf. Would you please save me? At that moment, God will save your soul, change you from the inside out, give you eternal life and a home in heaven, and a promise of resurrection. It can be yours. It's all there through Christ. If you've never received that, I urge you today to humble yourself and say, that's what I need. That's what I need. If you have received that, take the time right now to thank God and say, thank you, Lord, for paying the debt for me. Thank you.